Have you ever had to wait for something? Anyone here? Wait, right? Christmas is a great reminder of waiting. Remember being a little kid and waiting for Christmas? I know for me, it was like always like, oh, I can't wait to see what I get. And like some of you guys are feeling like that now. Some of you guys remember that. And it seemed like it took forever. But maybe right now, today, you are actually waiting for something and you're thinking, I wish it was as easy as waiting for Christmas presents, because those were the days when life was a little bit easier. But the truth is, maybe you're waiting for your marriage to get better. Maybe you're waiting to save enough money to buy a house or to buy a car. Maybe you're waiting to pay off your house or your car. Maybe you're waiting for your kids to obey you. Maybe you're waiting for the raise at work. Maybe you're waiting for a new job. Maybe you're waiting for results from a health test that you have gotten and you're waiting to see what's wrong with you. Whatever it is, something that you're waiting for can be a difficult time. And sometimes we get caught in the waiting pattern and it actually starts to consume our lives. Have you ever felt like that? You're waiting for something to happen and it consumes your thought life. It consumes everything in your life. The French Enlightenment writer Voltaire said it this way. He said, we never live. We are always in expectation of living. You ever feel like that? You're always like, when I have this, or when I can do this, or when this happens, when, if, I'm waiting, and you fail to live the day for what the day is because you're constantly in this waiting pattern. The truth is, if you are waiting, you need some guidance while you wait. Wouldn't you agree with that? When you're waiting, you need some guidance while you wait. And you know what? Waiting is nothing new, especially when it comes to God and our relationship with Him. So historically, we see God's people actually waiting. And one of the main events that God's people were actually waiting for was a deliverer, or was a savior, was someone to save His people from their sins, from the hardship of life, from other sinful people. So in the Old Testament, God's people were waiting for the promised Messiah, and they needed some guidance while they waited. So the Old Testament, I don't know if you realize this, the entire Old Testament points towards Jesus coming, points towards a Messiah. So then the question becomes this. We as Christians see, and we see that Jesus came. So we have to ask ourselves, why did so many of the Old Testament people, why did so many of God's people, the Jewish people, actually miss the Savior? Actually miss that Jesus was the Messiah? Actually miss that Jesus was the light? Well, I want to suggest two things that happen while they were waiting for the light that may have caused the majority of God's people to miss that Jesus was the Messiah. While we study why they missed that Jesus was Messiah, what I want us to learn and apply this to the situations of our life that we're waiting in. We all have situations that we might have to wait, and if we learn and apply what they did or what they didn't do or what they failed to do, if we learn and apply that, we might just find out what God is actually trying to communicate to us in our season of waiting. So first, I want to start off with this. While God's people were waiting for the light, the first thing is they misunderstood the prophecies. Now, just to clarify a few things, a prophecy is a foretelling of the future, 100% guarantee that something is going to happen. So God told His people certain things were going to happen. If you study the Bible, you'll know this. There are prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. That means there's certain things we're looking for to happen. One of those things is Jesus' second coming. But the people, God's people, were actually looking for the Messiah, and they knew some of the prophecies. And one of the prophecies they actually knew was found in the book of Isaiah. I want you to turn to Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. It says this. Now, before I read it, I want you to think about this. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. I want to clarify something. Jesus didn't come into existence on that Christmas day. Okay, Jesus always was. He came to this earth as that baby, that Savior. So now when I'm reading this, think about what is fulfilled in Jesus coming to the earth at that time. And now think also about what doesn't make sense, like wasn't fulfilled at that time that Jesus came to the earth. Listen to verse 6-7. It says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given." I'm like, okay, we agree with that, right? That was Jesus, right? That's why we celebrate, right? Then it goes on to say, "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." So now when we look at this, we have to realize God's people did not fully understand this prophecy. Because when we look at this prophecy, we see a few things. We see some things to be true of Jesus coming the first time, right? But then we see other things that are not that true, right? Like the government resting on Jesus' shoulders and his kingdom going on forever. Because if you follow the story of Jesus, what happened on Good Friday? Jesus was crucified, okay? So it was Jesus this big leader that everybody followed after? Everything changed under Jesus' rule? They were like, yeah, okay, he's in charge. No, not at all. The reason for that is the Messiah, Jesus, is actually prophesied to come two times. And the religious leaders misunderstood that there was going to be this time gap. So there are aspects of this prophecy that were fulfilled in Jesus' first coming, but they're yet to be fulfilled, and we won't see those things fulfilled until his second coming. Let me bring a little more clarification to that. The Bible Knowledge Commentary states it like this. Apparently, the prophet Isaiah assumed that the messianic child, Jesus Christ, would establish his reign in one advent, one coming. That when the child grew up, he would rule in triumph. Like the other prophets, Isaiah was not aware there was a great time gap between the Messiah's two advents. Okay? We're living in that time gap. So God's people at that time missed that part. They missed the fact that, okay, this was going to be an already and then not yet type of coming. There was going to be a time gap. Now, it must have been very difficult, though, because now, like, we could look at this and say, whoa, why'd they miss it, right? Okay, you might say that. Like, how did they miss it? How did they miss? But realistically, think about their life and what they were going through. They're waiting for this deliverer to deliver them and to rule. And all the prophecies were talking about that rule. So then when Jesus came, they kind of misunderstood. But you know what? Maybe we would, too. Maybe we wouldn't fully understand it at that point. But you know what? In 2 Peter, Peter actually points out how we need to pay attention. He says this, and he's saying this to the Jewish believers, the people that did understand the prophecy. But then he says this, "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as a lamp shining into dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." Here's what Peter's doing. Peter's reminding the Jewish Christians that in order to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, you need to pay attention and understand. In order to continue on in your Christian faith, you need to pay attention and understand the prophecies. Notice this. In verse 19, he says prophecy is like what? It's like a lamp shining into a dark place. It illuminates truth. Now, let's apply this to our lives. 2017, do you have something that you are waiting for or don't understand what God desires from you or wants you to do? Or maybe you don't understand why this is placed in your life. You don't really fully understand what's going on. You're wondering, God, why is this happening? Why are you doing this? Why am I waiting? Why? Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Why don't you understand? Is it because you don't know his word? You're not looking in his word for guidance? Is it because you're too lazy to actually find out what his word has to say about the situation? Maybe you're not paying attention to God's word at all. Maybe you're not thinking about what his word has to say in the situation that you find yourself in. Let me just tell you this. When we're lost, when we're confused, when we don't understand, the place that we need to go is to God's word. Some of you may have committed this verse to memory. I'm going to share it with you. And for others of you, you might want to commit this to memory. Psalm 119:105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know what? The light that you are waiting for can be illuminated by looking into God's word. Can be illuminated by looking into God's word. If you've been coming to this church for a while, you've heard me preach sermons about having a biblical worldview. You've heard me talk about how the Bible is the highest standard we listen to. No man is higher than the scriptures. The scriptures are words from God that help us to understand our lives and our situations and what's going on in our lives. So I have a challenge for you. Here's what you need to do. You need to seek to understand his word. You need to seek to understand his word. And you know what? This takes time, right? This takes time. It takes time to read. It takes time to study. It takes time to memorize. Most importantly, you have to make this a priority in your life. And I'll just tell you this. We live in a day and age where it couldn't get any easier. And let me just tell you why. Hey, you have so many resources. We live in a country where Bibles are plentiful. You have no problem getting a Bible. If you're thinking you have a problem getting a Bible like this one, guess what? Most of you, I would say probably 99% of you probably have a smartphone in your pocket, right? Have you heard me talk about this YouVersion Bible app? I'm sure you've heard me talk about it. Yeah, just please nod for me so I know you're still alive, okay? You've heard me talk about the YouVersion Bible app, right? So on the YouVersion Bible app, you can tap on that Bible app and you can read the Bible. Not only that, there's plans, there's devotionals, there's ways for you to get into the Bible on a daily basis. It'll remind you every day to read the Bible. Not only that, it will not only remind you to read the Bible, it couldn't even get any easier than this. You can actually just tap and listen to the Bible. You don't even have to read anymore, okay? People will read the Bible to you on your earbuds, in your car. You can put that phone in your pocket and it reads the Bible to you. I can tell you this much. It's so important for you to be doing this. You know what? A lot of times, well, in the last couple of years, this past year, I did the chronological. A lot of my family was doing the chronological Bible. We did just the full Bible last year, just listening to it. Just, you know what? I'm just going to use this and I'm going to listen to this. It's a great resource. I'm going to listen. Because a lot of times when you read or when you listen, you hear things differently, right? Sometimes you read something and you don't see or hear something. But then when you listen, you actually hear it differently. That's kind of how I am. So I just want to give, in 2018, you might say to yourself, like, okay, New Year's resolution, here, it's on this year, okay? I'm going to last longer than 3 weeks, okay? I'm going to do this. I hope you do that, but here's what I want to suggest. You have, like, a whole extra month if you start now, okay? So for those lazy days, because we know we get lazy, right? Maybe you should say, you know what, I'm going to do the Bible in a year and a month, okay? And I'm going to get that done. Whatever it is, the thing is, you want to make a plan and have some kind of program to get yourself into God's word every day. I will tell you this. What happens is when you start doing that, you will start seeing God answer questions in your life. Things that God wants to communicate to you. Things that God wants to talk to you about. You know, this morning it was interesting. In before the service, me and who's ever doing the worship and some of the leaders will get together and pray before the service. And I prayed and I said, you know, something in my prayer about having people learning about waiting. After the prayer, Chris Lang, who was playing the piano, he goes, huh, that's kind of funny. He's like, the first song is about waiting. And I never told him that this was what it was going to be. He's like, the first song I picked is about waiting. And he goes, in the Daily Bread this morning, if anybody read it, was about waiting. He's like, God is obviously trying to communicate something to the people here and to us, that we need to understand why we are waiting in whatever situation we're waiting in. The only way that we're kind of truly understand that is by understanding what God's word has to say to our specific situation. And guess what? Some of you might say, well, I don't think God's word really talks specifically. Well, he will talk specifically through his word, through prayer. He'll help you to understand why this time of waiting is in your life. The second thing that I believe happened to God's people while they were waiting for the light or the Messiah was they lost focus. They just got off focus. They got off focus, and this happens. Sometimes when we wait, we lose focus, and we can't see what God's doing. So much of our waiting focuses in on the thing or the situation or the occurrence that we want to happen. We lose focus of our daily responsibilities and what we need to be doing for the Lord. The Jewish people lost focus, and when Jesus came as the light, they didn't see him. I want you to turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Very important passage. I know our Sunday school kids memorized a good deal of this at one time. John chapter 1, picking up in verse 9. So remember, the Jewish people lost focus, and then when Jesus came, they didn't see who he was. They didn't see that he was the Messiah. And here's what it says. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Remember, that's a statement of the fact that Jesus is the creator. He's the Almighty God. It says this, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, talking about God's people. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know what? The Jewish people, primarily, the majority of them, did not accept that Jesus was the true light, the Messiah. Jesus consistently referred to the religious leaders at that time. Remember, there was a lot of turmoil. And eventually, Jesus wound up getting killed for some of the things that he said, the fact that he claimed to be God. So Jesus consistently talked about the religious Jews or to the religious Jews. He called them things like stiff-necked, hard-hearted, whitewashed tombs, basically saying they were not willing to accept the truth of God. Here's the focus. Here's where they lost focus. Their focus became religion and not a relationship with God. That's what happened. Their focus became religion. You know, sometimes when you're waiting, you'll get off focus. And their off focus was to be religious. Let's turn to John 5, a couple pages over. And Jesus actually speaks directly to them about this topic. John 5, verses 39 through 47, Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. So he's saying, you guys know this stuff, okay? You're searching this stuff. You're looking for eternal life, but you're missing that they bear witness of me. And then he says this, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? Do not seek the glory that comes from the only... How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So here's what was happening here. The Jewish people did not truly believe what the scriptures were actually teaching. If they did, they would have accepted Jesus. So what he's saying is, you guys are listening to Moses, but you're really not listening to Moses because Moses was pointing to me. You know what? This is true of us oftentimes, isn't it, as believers? Here's what happens as believers. We believe that Jesus is our Savior. We believe the gospel message. You know, you come here each Sunday, you hear about how Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sins. You hear about how Jesus rose again to prove that he was God. The truth of the scriptures is this. All who believe that Jesus died and rose again will have eternal life. That's the truth. And some of you are like, amen, I love that. Now I'm going to heaven. I believe that. But then when it comes to obeying his word, you're like, well, that's not really for me. Or that's a little too hard. Or that takes too long to do. Sometimes, do you realize this? Sometimes when you're waiting on the Lord, you're like, God, I'm waiting in this situation. Show me the way. Show me what I need to do, or change this, or whatever you're waiting on. Sometimes you're waiting on the Lord, but you're really not waiting on the Lord. Guess what's happening? The Lord is waiting on you. He's waiting on you. He's looking at you and saying, you know what? You're calling out to me and saying, why God, why God, why am I waiting? Why? And God is saying, you're not listening to me. I'm waiting for you to listen. If you are a parent, you understand this, okay? Waiting for someone to listen. Is it frustrating? Parents, can I get an amen there? Is it frustrating? I mean, give me a break here. Do you think that sometimes that God is looking at you and saying, you know what? You're saying, fix this situation, and he's saying, it will be fixed if you listen to me. It will come to pass if you listen to me. I need to teach you this. If I give you this and you don't learn what you're supposed to be learning, it's not going to be good for you. It's not going to be good for the people around you, and it's not going to be good for the kingdom of God. It's just not. You know, if you're a parent, you know that. Sometimes you have to make your kids wait and make them come to the conclusion that obedience is the best path. And if you don't, guess what? We're gonna be in plain English here. You create a brat, okay? That's what happens. If you don't make your kids wait and learn the valuable lessons, what happens is your kid becomes someone that no one wants to be around. And then a kid that's no one wants to be around, guess what? It doesn't get any better as an adult. That's why I do family series and friend series. That's why I do this, because they're kids that maybe never learned the right way, and they become adults that never learned the right way. And the right way is to obey the Lord. So listen, we're refusing to obey, and he's waiting for us to obey. Or we may be waiting. This is even a more difficult one, in my opinion. We might be waiting for God to change a situation, and he's actually waiting for us to accept how the situation is. Like, we don't like this one, do we? Okay. We might be waiting, God, change this situation, and he's waiting for us to accept the way the situation is. It's almost like God is saying this. This is done. You need to accept it. This is truth for life now. This is the way we're moving forward. You need to accept this. You're saying, God, change it. God's saying, you need to accept it. Some of you recognize this name, Reinhold Niebuhr. He summed up this mindset of accepting the truth about the way things are in our lives in this very famous prayer called the Serenity Prayer. Have you ever heard the Serenity Prayer? If you've been through any recovery type programs, they use the Serenity Prayer all the time. And here's why. The mindset is accepting situations that probably will not change. Maybe God does not desire the situation to change. Maybe it's not in God's will for things to change. Or maybe the people are so disobedient, it's just not going to change. And we have to accept the way things are. So here's the prayer. He says this. And this is a man's prayer to God. This is in scripture. It's a man's prayer to God. He says, God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed. Courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish one from another. Then he goes on to say, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Does that sound like somebody who's constantly waiting? No, it doesn't. It sounds like somebody who's like, okay, you know what? One step forward, one day at a time, one moment at a time. Then he goes on to say, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will. He's going to change us when we surrender to him. It doesn't mean he's going to change the situation, but he's going to change maybe the way that we view the situation or what we learn from the situation. But I love these last lines. He says this, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Did you catch that? Reasonably happy. Who prays for that? Most people pray for supremely happy, okay? Right? It's almost like a defeat. So I may be reasonably happy, you know? But the truth is, and you young people should learn this right off the bat, this world will never bring you supreme happiness. It just won't, okay? You might think it will. You might think when you get that job, when you marry that person, when you have those kids, when you have that house, you might think, okay, this is going to bring me supreme happiness, but guess what? I'm here to be that wet rag and tell you it's not going to happen, okay? It will only happen in eternity where you'll be supremely happy with him. So this prayer that Niebuhr had, he wrote this prayer because he wants to focus and remind believers to obey. And that's the next challenge. The challenge is this. We need to choose to obey what God is asking us to do. Most of us know that, right? Most of us say, like, okay, you know what? I do have to obey. God's not changing the situation, but I have to obey him in the situation. The situation's not going to get any better, but I have to obey him in the situation. Maybe he is going to change the situation, and he's saying, you need to learn and obey during that time before I change the situation. Whatever it might be, the call of the Christian is obedience. But now I know some of you are thinking this. Some of you are thinking, I do this stuff. This isn't for me. Like, I value God's word. I read it. I spend time in it. I do the best to obey. The situation that I'm in seems hopeless, seems helpless, and I'm doing everything right. I'm waiting on you, God, and I'm doing everything right. What's going on here? Well, I have some encouragement for you. The first is Elizabeth Elliot says it this way. She says, waiting on God requires the willingness to bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered questions, lifting the heart to God about it whenever it intrudes upon our thoughts. You know what she's saying here? She's saying, we're all going to wait in some situations. And if we're doing the right thing, if we're spending time in his word, we're trying to obey his word, like we have all our ducks in line, so to speak. We feel like, okay, God, I'm asking you, is there anything I'm doing wrong here? And God's like, nope, you're being a good kid. You're following after me. You're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing, but it's not time yet. She says, whenever those thoughts come in, just give them up to the Lord. Don't let them ruin your day. Don't let them ruin your week. Don't let them ruin your month or your year or the next decade. Just give them up to the Lord. So when we get discouraged, we need to remember what the word says. And I just want to close with three passages and three points. The first is found in, this is what we do when we're waiting on the Lord. The first is found in Isaiah 40:31. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. It says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. The first is this, the act of waiting strengthens our faith. Do you realize that? The act of waiting strengthens your faith. And you're just like, no, that discourages my faith. No, God's saying the act of waiting should strengthen your faith, because when you're waiting on the Lord, you're actually asking him for strength. You're admitting, I don't have power over this situation and I need strength. And the act of waiting will actually strengthen your faith. The second thing is found in Proverbs 27:14. It says this, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The act of waiting increases our courage. It actually helps us put one step in front of the other. Do you realize this? When you're waiting in a small situation and then you take that step of courage in that situation, what happens is God increases your courage. And what happens is you get strengthened and you have more courage to go on to the next day. I don't know if you realize this, and this can be kind of scary for some of you, but those small things that that God is asking you to have courage in will just eventually lead to bigger things. You get why I said that might be scary to some of you? Because you're like, okay, so you're like, wait, if I stop and don't learn, does that mean that? No. Here's the thing, God's preparing you for what's next. He's preparing you for the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, the next decade, the next relationship failure, the next death in your family, the next financial crisis, the next thing that none of us want to look down the pike and see, that's what he's preparing for you for, to have courage in him to face those things. Because some of you look at certain things in life and think, if that happened, it would literally destroy me. And God is saying, not with my help. It would not destroy you with my help. By yourself, yes, it would. With my help, it's not going to. Take courage. Wait on me. Psalm 130 is the final one, 5-6, says this. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman for the morning. More than a watchman for the morning. The act of waiting actually keeps us alert. You know what? When you're waiting on the Lord, you're looking to see what's going on. You know, the saddest thing is when I see Christians that aren't looking for God to work in their life. They've given up. Why, God? I'm waiting. This isn't happening. And then they just finally stop reading, stop praying, stop coming to church, stop doing things that are going to help them in their spiritual walk. But when we wait on the Lord, what happens is we start to be alert. We start to see things happen, amazing things. Those are the people when you talk to, you're like, man, it's amazing how the Lord worked this out. Do you know why they know that? Because they were watching. They were alert. They were waiting for the Lord to do the work. So while we're waiting for the Lord to give us light for our path, we need to seek to understand his word, and we need to choose to obey his word.